Shalom! Holy Scriptures and Israel is a ministry designed to share with the Jewish people the good news of the Lord Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and to instruct Christians on the Jewish roots of their faith. And now, teaching God's Word from a Hebrew Messianic perspective, here is Gideon Levitam.
The study of Acts chapter 21, look at this, verse 23. Are they ministers of the Messiah? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes, above measure, in prisons, more frequent. And notice the last three words in verse 23. In death, often. Can you imagine to live your life often in a danger of death? They wanted to kill him in Asia Minor, wherever he was traveling. And now they wanted to kill him right there outside of the temple after they shut the door. They wanted to kill him. And the Apostle Paul said, I was in my life as a servant of the Lord. Oftentimes I experienced near death. You remember earlier also in chapter 14 when they took him as if he was dead after they stoned him? So he was all his life under the danger of maybe he's going to leave this scene because there was so much opposition to the message of the gospel of the Messiahship of Yeshua. And he was the one that was used by the glorified Messiah to send him to the Gentile world, to preach the message of the gospel. You remember, we were just talking in our Bible class in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish, it is foolishness. But to us that believe, it is the power of God. The world look at the message of the Messiahship of Yeshua and the gospel message, the cross, the Messiah's death on the cross for the world is like foolishness and the hatred towards that message. Because by preaching that message, men have to recognize and to confess that he is doomed to eternal separation from God if he or she do not accept the message of the gospel. And Paul was preaching it without a shame, without fear. And that's why we find him saying, I am often was in a situation that was near death situation in his life. What a life to live, or the edge, always at the edge, just the next, who knows what's going to happen in the next day, in the next moment. He was living for the Messiah, living for Yeshua, the glorified Messiah. So the city was moved, and the people were about to kill him, verse 31a. In verse 31b to verse 33, he somehow, by the grace of God, was delivered out of their hands, and he was bound by the chief captain of the temple. Somehow, by the grace of God, he was delivered out of their hands. So we read in this verse 31b, it says here, and tidings or news came unto the chief captain and the band, and all Jerusalem was in uproar. So this chief captain, verse 32, he immediately took soldiers and centurions, and he ran down unto them. And when they saw the chief captain and the soldiers, they left beating off Paul. You see? And then verse 33 we read, and when the chief captain came near, he took him, that is Paul, and he commanded Paul to be bound with two chains, and demanded who he was and what he had done. Now that's also interesting because this person who was the chief captain, he heard because he was responsible over the temple. And the chief captain was actually a commander of 1,000 Roman soldiers. And there were actually, I understand that there were about 6,000 Roman soldiers. There were six captains there, the Jerusalem area, when he was the chief captain over 1,000 soldiers, And when he heard that there was a problem in the temple area, and that there was one man that was in danger of being killed, when he heard immediately, he took soldiers with him. And notice he says centurions. A centurion is a commander of 100. And because we have a plurality here, he may have taken 200 or 300 commanders and their soldiers, maybe 200 or 300 soldiers, and he brought them in. And you notice that it says he ran down. He ran down from where? Well, apparently, brothers and sisters, that time at the temple area, there was a castle that is called really the Antonia Fortress. It was a castle that was built by Herod the Great, and it was connected to the temple, and there were towers there, and out of these towers, the Roman soldiers could look into the temple, and they could see what was going on in the courts of the temple, to make sure that there is order, to make sure that things are okay, and there was not uprising and disorder. So he went down, so apparently he went down and sent those soldiers down from these towers of the Antonia Fortress into the outer court, and there they saw the Apostle Paul ready to be killed by those Jewish people who came from Asia who have not acknowledge the messiahship of Yeshua. So when he sent them, the soldiers came in and those people saw him, they stopped beating Paul. Can you imagine? They beat him and they beat him, and he must have experienced again a near-death experience, as he has mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Oftentimes, in death often, in near-death experiences often. So when they saw this chief captain and the soldiers, they stop beating the Apostle Paul. And then the chief captain took him, and he commanded him to be bound with two chains, and he commanded who he was and what he had done. And I'm sure as he was speaking and wanted to know who is this man, what he have done, why is it that so many people are against him? And you and I know very well that what the Apostle Paul did, he had done nothing wrong. He simply accepted that Yeshua was the Messiah and that he was called to be a servant of the Messiah to share with the world, including his people, the message of the gospel. So he had done nothing wrong. He simply came to have the vow of the Nazarite to show his brethren, his people, that he is not against the law, he is not against the temple, he is not against the Jewish people, but he is a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. So the captain wanted to know who he is, what he have done in verse 33. And so now, as we're moving on towards the end of this portion, we find out in those last verses here that verse 34, 35, and 36, there was a crying against Paul and the violence against the Apostle Paul. You can see that it is brought into the surface here. Some cried one thing, some another thing among the multitude. And when he could not know the certainty for this confusion, he commanded him to be carried into the castle. So when he came down out of the castle, and the steps down from this tower of that castle, he came into the outer court. That would be the court of the Gentile. And he wanted to know who the Apostle Paul, what he have done. So people were saying, oh, he did this, and others, we did this. They were accusing Paul right there in that outer court. And I've seen various things such as this happen. Some of my trips, I've seen people accusing one person and shouting at him and speaking against him. In fact, I've experienced this right in Israel, where there were some Jewish believers having an outreach, and how they were accused, and one said this and another said this. There's confusion. Some say things they don't even know, but they just join the crowd. Then you remember, brothers and sisters, how when Yeshua was walking into the city of Jerusalem, how they accused him. In fact, again, we were talking of the Gospel of Mark, how everyone was accusing Yeshua. Everyone. The soldiers were mocking at him. This is the Roman soldiers. The passers-by were raging at him, railing at him, speaking against Yeshua the Messiah. The priests were saying, oh, he saved others, himself he cannot save. And even the thieves on the cross were railing at him, as we read in Mark chapter 15. Later on, one of them recognized that he was wrong, and he stopped railing, and he confessed before, and he says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. But people were railing. Everyone was against the person of our Lord, Yeshua the Messiah. And now we see how all the crowd was against the servant of the Lord. I don't know if you've ever can imagine what it must be to experience such an experience where everyone is around you and accusing you and beating you and shouting at you and condemning you. Can you imagine? You remember, that is exactly what the Apostle Paul said earlier. I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of our Lord Yeshua. This is what he said in chapter 21, the same chapter in verse 13. So Paul was ready to give his life for the name of our Lord. What a devotedness this servant had been. And so there is a lesson to learn from the life of the Apostle Paul. So this chief captain, when he could not make out, what do they say? This one say one thing, the other one say another thing against Paul. He decided and he says, you know what? Let's take the Apostle Paul. Let's take this man out of here. He commanded him to be carried into the castle. Again, I remind you, that castle is what Herod the Great had built very near to the temple. And therefore, this Antonia fortress was that they could overlook and see what was going on in the temple and how things were going on. The Romans were concerned that the Jewish people would rise against them. And so they were watching very carefully what was going on in that temple. And so the cry is in verse 34. Some say one thing, others said another thing. So this captain told them, just take the apostle, take this man, and bring him now into the castle. So notice that. It was carried by the soldiers. Apparently, maybe he didn't have any more strength maybe to stand or so. Or maybe if the soldiers probably surrounded him and protected him because they were really ready to kill him. So it says in verse 35, when he came upon the stairs, notice that, those stairs is towards the towers of this Antonia fortress. When he came upon the stairs, so it was that he was borne, notice, carried off the soldiers for the violence of the people. They just wanted to get him away from them, to do him out. They didn't want him anymore. And that's why they earlier said those statements. This is the man that teaches all these things against the people, against the law, and against the temple. They really hated the Apostle Paul. And you know, Paul, he knows that very well because he have done the very same thing to the early Jewish believers whom he persecuted, who he hated, whom he wanted to kill them, whom he was also pursuing them, bringing letters from the chief priest in order to grab them and to bring them and ultimately to judge them. So he have experienced what he himself have done to his own Jewish brethren. Interesting that here's a Jewish believer. Once he was not a believer, he have done it to his brethren. And now as a believer, he has experienced this from his brethren. Very interesting to see how the table is turning. And it all happened when he made a decision for Yeshua the Messiah. So the violence of the people was tremendous. So in verse 36, we see the rejection of Paul by the multitude. Look at this. The multitude of the people followed after, and look what they cried. They cried, away with him. And if you notice, if you turn to chapter 22, and verse 22, they said it again later on, away with such a fellow. You know, brothers and sisters, this is something that is sad to know about are people who do not want for us as Jewish people to believe in the Messiah. So they think we have gone so much astray and have done so much wrong. And said, away from such a person. And this is what we call fanatic view and action. Fanatic to the extreme. It happened among our Jewish people. It happened in various religious systems in the world. Then when a person changes his ways or go in a different direction, there is that mob hatred against that person, that they want to put him away totally. It's happened in many religious groups as well, as we know that from history. You remember Paul as well, it happened to him in Ephesus, where they actually, the mob came in the arena there, and they wanted actually to kill him as well. It happened to him before, and it happened in many religious groups today because of religion, the hatred that comes, and it's so extremely sad and extremely troubling. So they say, away with him. It's the same thing that happened to Yeshua the Messiah in Luke chapter 23, when they say, away with this man as well in the Gospel of Luke. So you see, they wanted totally to remove the Apostle Paul. They really wanted him actually to be killed. And so this really brings us to the end of the chapter before the Apostle Paul is going to speak to the multitude. In verses 37 to 40, Paul requests from the chief captain to speak to his Jewish brethren. In verse 37, we read the request, first of all, to talk to the chief captain. Paul was to be led into the castle. So as he was going to go into the castle, on the way, he said unto the chief captain, may I speak with you? He kind of stopped there and he said, can I speak with you? He wanted to talk to the chief captain so he will grant him permission to speak to his own brethren. So the chief captain in verse 37b and verse 38, the chief captain said to him, can you speak Greek? Well, apparently Paul could. Can you speak Greek? And he says, are not you, or are not thou, that Egyptian, which before these days made an uproar and led out into the wilderness 4,000 men that were murderers? Apparently, he assumed, or he thought, that Paul may have been that Egyptian. Apparently, there was a man, an Egyptian man, that was very well known by the people of Israel, by the Jewish community, by the Romans. He must have had something happen earlier, a certain Egyptian that came to Israel, into the temple area, and before these days, he made an uproar. And he led out into the wilderness 4,000 men who were murderers. These men apparently were anti-Romans. And they didn't like anybody who supported the Romans. And from what I understand, that they were actually Jewish men who came from Egypt and they had a leader. And they did not support the fact that the Romans are in charge over the Jewish community. They didn't want the Romans to rule them. And therefore, they were kind of causing all kind of uproars in the city, in the temple, against those who supported the Romans. And so he was thinking that here's an uproar in Jerusalem. Here's again another one that's causing problem that everybody's against them. So he thought, are you that Egyptian? Which before those days made an uproar. Are you that one that caused this uproar? And Paul was not that one. Paul was never using all sorts of means to hurt people. Even if he did not agree, he never used carnal means against anyone. He was never a hater. He was a lover of Yeshua, a lover of the nation, a lover of mankind. He spoke the truth in love. And so he thought that he was that Egyptian, that claim, I understand, he claimed to be a prophet and wanted the Romans totally not anymore to rule over our Jewish people. So Paul said to him, and brothers and sisters, look at this, and we're going to conclude with this in verse 39 and verse 40. Look what Paul is saying to him. And I love that. He's saying to him in verse 39, Paul responding to him, and he says, I am a man which am a Jew. of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, a citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. Paul was saying to the chief captain here, he says, I'm a man which am a Jew. I told you this many times in the past when someone who met me years ago, a Christian man, a godly man, a Bible teacher, he came and he said to me, are you the one who used to be a Jew? And I said to him, no, my dear brother, I am a Jew. Not was a Jew and now became a non-Jew, no. And you know, it is interesting that people know the Bible very well and they need to take the scripture for what the scriptures say. Paul never was a Jew and became non-Jew since he became a believer in Yeshua the Messiah. No. He was a Jew. He remained a Jew. He will be a Jew. He will die a Jew. But he's a Jew who believes that Yeshua is Messiah and Savior and Lord. And so he said to him, I am a man which am a Jew. In Romans 11, 1, he says, I am an Israeli. In Philippians 3, verse 5, he says, I am an Hebrew. He was a Hebrew. He was an Israeli. He was a Jew. I should say it this way. He is a Hebrew. He is an Israeli. He is a Jewish person who believes in the God of Israel through the person of Yeshua the Messiah. So he responded in such a beautiful way. I am a man which am a Jew, and a Jew of Tarsus. Tarsus was in the province of Cilicia. And apparently it says here about Cilicia, Tarsus, by the way, in the present day Turkey today, and apparently he's saying, which is a citizen of no mean city. Now, I was looking to that. What do you mean, no mean city? Really, it's a no insignificant city. In other words, that city was a large city. There was a large population. It was a city that is well-known city. The city of Tarsus. And that's where he came from. And Apostle Paul, while he was a Jewish person who was born in Tarsus, but he was constantly under the study of the Hebrew scripture, under the study of Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel. We're going to read about him a bit later. And though he was born in the diaspora, yet he's saying he knew the language, he knew the people, he knew the religious or the religious activity of his people. He knew the law, he knew the word of God. I am a man which am a Jew of Tarsus, the city of Cilicia, a citizen of not an insignificant city, a well-known city. And I beseech you, he's saying to the chief captain, suffer me to speak unto the people. Now, would you want to speak unto the people who wanted just right now to kill you and to do away with you? You might say, I do not want to speak to them. But you see, Paul loves his brethren, loves his people, and he wanted to speak to them, to share with them why he believed what he believed in. In the last verse of this chapter, he opened his mouth and he began, notice, he began to speak to his Jewish brethren in the Hebrew tongue. We call it, in Hebrew we say, Be'ivrit, Basafa Ha'ivrit, in the Hebrew tongue. It says in verse 40, when he had given him license, he waited to get permission. Paul stood on the stairs. This is the stairs towards the tower of the Antonia fortress. He stood on the stairs. He beckoned with his hand. He lifted up his hands like that towards the people, the multitude, the groups that were all waiting there, wanted him to be getting away from there. He lifted up his hands to the people. And when there was made a great silence, everybody was quiet. Then he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying. He spoke unto them in the Hebrew, in their mother's tongue, in his own mother's tongue. You know, some people say, no, he spoke Aramaic. No, the Bible doesn't say he spoke in Aramaic, even though he may have known Aramaic, but here we read that he spoke in the Hebrew tongue. tongue, the Ivrit, the Hebrew language, which was the nation's language. And that gave him an opportunity to get their attention. You could see that by speaking in their mother's tongue, in his own brethren, in his own tongue, he received the attention of the people. We read that there was a great silence. And he began to speak unto them in the Hebrew tongue. We find that expression, Hebrew tongue, mentioned a few times. It's mentioned in chapter 22 and verse 2. In fact, it mentioned in chapter 26 and verse 14, where Paul was saying that he heard the Messiah speaking to him from heaven in the Hebrew tongue. Yeshua himself spoke to him from glory in the Hebrew tongue. We're going to get to that, beloved brothers and sisters, in the next chapters, but we are going to conclude today with this verse 40. He lifted up his hand, and the silence among the multitude, and he began to speak unto them in the Hebrew tongue. I wish I could hear that, because this is my mother's tongue, and it's such a precious thing to be able to hear the message of the gospel in your own mother's tongue. And that's why there are missionaries and servants around the world who preach the message of the Messiahship of Yeshua in the very language where the people could listen to this voice of the Lord, in the very language that is very dear to their hearts. Well, brothers and sisters, we're going to conclude here in verse 40. In the will of the Lord, we're going to continue as we study the book of Acts next time, next ministry meeting that I speak in chapter 22 on, so we can see what Paul said to his own Jewish brethren in the Hebrew tongue. May the Lord bless his word to us all. Can we say amen to that? Amen.
You have been listening to the Holy Scriptures and Israel with Gideon Levitam. Gideon teaches God's Word from a Hebrew messianic perspective. For more information about this ministry, write to Holy Scriptures and Israel, Box 1411, Niagara-on-the-Lake, Ontario, L0S1J0, or visit our website at holyscripturesandisrael.com. You are also invited to Gideon's weekly Bible teaching on Fridays at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. at Willowdale Christian Assembly Hall, 28 Martin Ross Avenue in Toronto. Holy Scriptures and Israel is made possible by your prayers and financial support. If you would like to support the program, visit holyscripturesandisrael.com. God bless you. Shalom, shalom.